when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. All these are what saved us. Obedience, sanctification, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. These are what saved us. Then he says, to you who are referred to, grace and peace. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All this is just an introduction. It's just to say that I'm greeting you. And who I'm talking to. And this is what we are looking for. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, God is kind. I'm so happy you are not God. Even some of the nice ladies who are here, I'm so happy you are not God. Hey, like what you do to us, especially your husband. Hey, it will not be easy for mankind. Judgments will be falling regularly. I mean, they will not wait for judgment day to come. It will come as they feel like it. Yeah. But one of the great marks of God and a sign of godliness is mercy. A mark of God and a sign of godliness is mercy. Mercy is I have the power to do good and bad, or right and wrong. No, good and bad. Mercy is I have the power to do good and bad. No, it's not bad, because it's just. It's not bad, it's just. You know, I have the power to execute judgments, maybe. Just judgments. But I withhold it to do good. That's mercy. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. And you know, this is the King James problem. Because begotten us again is simply born again. But you see, you didn't think about it. Begotten us, born, you are born. Born again, begotten us again. But King James, if you don't know him, he will deceive you. So who, according in the New Living Translation or the modern versions, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. That's all. This begotten us again. Born again. Again, listen to this part now. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And unto a lively hope. I don't know what you are thinking or how you understand it. Because lively hope is not an English you use. Nobody here speaks like that. I have a lively hope. No, we don't speak like that. So when we hear these words, they don't bring out any recognition within us that this is something that is affecting me. You know, so even in the so let's look at the New Living Translation. That we have been born again. And then he puts it clearly, because God raised Jesus from the dead by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is how we are born again. We are born again. So this phrase, a lively hope, actually means a great expectation. It means we have a hope for something. Hallelujah. Are you listening here? We have a hope for something. And it is given us by our being born again. Hallelujah. So this evening, ask your neighbor, what is your expectation? And you ask first, because I will ask another question very soon after. And I know that you have already bar on the question. Because what is your expectation? You know, and I don't know what your neighbor said. What did he say? What is your expectation? And your lively hope is, what do you expect out of your life? What is your expectation? If they tell you to write your life story from beginning to end, what will you write? What is your expectation? You know, I expect, as I sit here, I expect to marry. I expect to have 3 children. I'm expecting that I'll be going to America to do my master's. I'm hoping, a lively hope. Maybe that's where it comes from. I'm hoping that, I get the picture. I'm hoping that, you know, when I went to university first year, I entered first year, I went to my faculty. The first week I was in my faculty, they were selling car tickets, and I bought one. I said, I expect to own a car. I expect to own a car. Yeah. So I bought a car sticker, the pharmacist's crest. I bought it first year, about the second week, I bought it. I said, no. I expect to own a car. So it is my expectation. You know, and it is what you expect. Are you listening? So we have been born again to a lively hope, to an expectation. And this evening, my question is, what is your expectation? What is your expectation? Because when you find Proverbs 24 and verse 14, Proverbs 24 and verse 14, I don't mind whichever scripture you use, but the King James will have the same expectation word that we are looking for. But the other one too is very nice. So shall the knowledge. Okay, let's start from verse 13. so that you understand the soul. The soul is from verse 13. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So that's verse 13. Eat honey. So, it's from that verse 13. Eat the honey. Yeah. So shall, brother, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. I know you are not, it's not clear because of the broken back to front English of the King James. But what he's saying here is that the way honey is sweet to the mouth, in the same way, wisdom shall be to your soul. Yes, your soul. You'll enjoy. When you look, when wisdom comes to you, like a very nice proverb, you will enjoy it. How many have watched a film? You really enjoy the film. You sat back and enjoyed the film. But it was a nice film. Either was a romantic film, a horror movie, Chinese. So I don't know what film you like. But it was a film you like. But when you finish it, you say, this one day I'll watch it again. So that is what it says. Honey to your tongue and wisdom to your soul. When thou hast found it, there shall be a reward. Are you following this, this thing? It means that when your soul has found wisdom, or you don't understand the link, when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means what you, with wisdom, are you getting the link? With wisdom, you will be satisfied. And what you are expecting shall not be, you will not be disappointed. Amen. Now, I'm not sure all of you were here a couple of weeks ago when I preached about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I'm not sure. Some of you didn't come that day, I'm sure. But I explained what wisdom is. I began from knowledge. Is to know. Look, tell somebody, you are wasting our time. If you had come that day, we wouldn't have to repeat it. Yeah, you wouldn't have to repeat it and go over it. But knowledge is mere facts. Is to have a mere factual something in your head. Just a fact. That's all. It's a knowledge. You know, understanding is what the fact means. I was talking about flies, but you were not here, and I won't go into it. You know, understanding is what that fact means, the implication of that knowledge. And the key word we are looking for is wisdom. And wisdom is how that knowledge is used in your life. Hallelujah. So many of us have seen wisdom as being wise. No. Wisdom is not being wise. Knowledgeable is wise. You understand? Wisdom is how the knowledge is used in your life to your benefit. Hallelujah. So this evening, I'm glad there's a doctor here. I need doctors tonight. I need a doctor here. Yeah. So, wisdom is how we use knowledge. Okay? And then, First Peter says that by that wisdom, what you are expecting will come. Hallelujah. Look, many of us, we have grand plans. What do you say? Grand plan. A big plan of something like I will build a 4-story building, or I will go and buy a black Range Rover plus a black ML Mercedes. I mean, you have some grand. Tell them, look, look, look. But don't say it. Don't say I killed their faith. You know, we have plans. But, you know, sometimes it's as if we are negative. But we're not negative. We are, it is the truth that we want to give you, the honest and the honesty and the truth, is that many of our plans by ourselves will not come to pass. Many of our plans by ourselves, it will not come to pass. But by the wisdom of God, are you listening? By the wisdom of God, many of our expectations will happen. I hope you are getting the difference. Yeah, you're getting the difference between your efforts and the favor, the power of God working on our behalf. Hallelujah. Now, this month, this season, we are talking about growing our churches. We have been looking at the Shabby Shepherding Must Go, all the different campaigns, all the different campaigns that are necessary to bring, to make the church work. Hallelujah. One, and I'm sure we've all, I mean, everybody here by now knows of the campaigns. Everybody here. Otherwise, we'll really kill you. If you are here and you don't know the campaigns, really, 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 we'll do you something very bad. I will tell the ushers to either take you behind the beating and beat you or something, because you shouldn't be here. Now, this is the key I want us to bear in mind. It takes all the campaigns working together to bring about church growth. You see, that is where I want us to distinguish the wisdom. James chapter 3, I think verse 18 or 20, talks about the wisdom from above and the wisdom that is not from above, but is earthly. But is earthly or sensual and devilish. That is the wisdom that is not from above. So the wisdom, and there are two. Okay, don't mix the things. The wisdom is not education, it's not degree. No, tell somebody, it's not the school you went to. It is God's role in your life. Hallelujah. And so the wisdom of church growth that we are looking for, it is the wisdom. I mean, and unfortunately, the pastors are not here, but we who are here, you can take it back to your pastor and tell him that all the campaigns must be working in the church. Hallelujah. That is the key. That is the wisdom that will make your expectation for church growth not be cut off. Hallelujah. And the reason is this. Romans 12 and verse 5. Romans 12 and verse 5. You can take it from verse 4. That one too works. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or not the same function, the members in the body. I mean, doctor, I'm happy you are here. Thank you for coming this evening. You are coming to be my co-preacher. Yeah. As we have many functions in the give it to him. As we have many functions in the body, go to verse 5. So we, being many, and I need a nurse too. I need a nurse and a doctor. So You can come up now, nurse and doctor. So I need all of you can come, nurse and doctor. Pardon? No herbalist. No herbalist. Doctor, please come. I want you to explain something very, very well for me. You see, please come here. I want the doctor to explain something very, very well. Because many of us who are here, number one, we are lay people. Number two, they are art students. So they have little understanding of complex body cycles and complex mechanisms working within the body. What I want, you see, and for many of us, when you look at the human being, all you see is life or death. You are alive or you are dead. That's to them what the human body is. But if you could try to explain in layman's English the complexity of the human body. You see, he's confused because it is too big to say it in simple English. But let's try. There are art students here. Just to understand, listen to what Bishop says. It will give you a clue. For a human body to grow, many things need to work together at the same time. The bladder fills with urine at the same time as the heart is pumping blood. Blood and urine are very different. Are they similar? They are different. Very different. But they are all moving around in the body. Mr. Operator. They are all moving around at the same time. The brain is taking decisions. While the brain is muscles. Am I mistaken? The brain cells is not muscles. Tissue. Okay, I'm coming. The brain is taking decisions while the muscles of the legs are moving. The liver is removing toxins from the blood, and the kidney is removing urea from the blood. While all this is going on, the eyes are seeing and the ears are hearing. Your mouth fills with saliva from the submandibular and the parotid glands, while your nose is filled with secretions that make you blow your nose. The stomach dissolves meats. The duodenum digests bread. And all while this is happening, woman is having her menses. At the same time, hormones are being secreted into your blood, your colon. You see, what I'm trying to describe to you here is the body. Many different parts are working at the same time. And it must necessarily be so. Have I said it well?
Absolutely.
If you can explain it in Chi or English. Next, you can be excused for now.
I'll use Reverend Stephen.
Thank you.
As Reverend Stephen is seated the way he's seated.
Yes.
His ability to even sit like this is controlled from the brain. So the brain is working to make him able to sit the way he's seated.
The brain is working.
For the brain to work the way it's working, I'm sure Reverend Stephen ate something today. The intestines has digested the food, the bloodstream has taken the glucose to the liver has metabolized it and sent some to the brain for the brain to function, for Reverend Stephen to sit the way he's seated.
The food he ate is why he's sitting down.
Yes. And for the food that he ate to get to the brain, the heart must work to carry the digestive products of digestion from the intestine to the liver. That is carried by the blood. And for the blood to move, the heart must pump.
From the intestine to the liver?
For it to move from the intestine to the liver, the blood must pump.
Yes.
The heart must pump.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The lungs must work for the blood that is in the rest of his body, to get back to the heart, to be pumped again to the rest of the body. So the lungs must also work. He should breathe. The in-out helps pull blood from down up to get to the heart.
The in-out of breathing,
breathing
helps pull the they blood are connected.
Absolutely.
The air and the blood are connected.
Yes, the negative pressure your chest creates allows blood, which is in your limbs, to come back to the heart, to be pumped again into the system.
Are you lay people listening?
At the same time that the food is digested, there's obviously waste products that will be absorbed with the food to the liver. This waste product, when the blood gets to the kidney, is extracted from the blood. So the kidney too is at the same time working to remove the waste product so that it doesn't become ill. Because we eat a lot of things which are not proper. All these are going on. The nerves are being stimulated for him to be able to move the legs, for him to pay attention to you, for the eye to move, for the ear. The ear is working. Everything is
interconnected.
It's a very complex system. All working at the same time to make him function and be here.
So if one breaks down,
there'll be a problem. For instance, let's say it's...
Liver.
Liver is not working well.
Yes.
That's serious. If the liver is not working well, number one, he will feel weak. The food he is eating will not be proportionally distributed to his body because the amount of food that gets absorbed and is sent to your body depends on what your body needs. For instance, if he has a lot of, say, vitamin K already, and he's taking a lot of vitamin K, the liver will make sure that it doesn't supply the body excess vitamin K, so the liver will keep the vitamin K. For instance, yes. So the liver makes sure that what you need is what you get.
Not the brain, the liver.
Oh, the liver will decide that the body needs this amount of glucose, so I'm releasing this amount of glucose. It needs this amount of fat, I'm releasing this amount of fat, etc., etc. So,
you have eaten liver. You don't know what you're eating.
It's a very important organ. Yeah. It regulates and it detoxifies. It does a lot of breakdown of bad substances in your body to keep you alert. If your liver fails, you can't be alert.
You cannot be alert.
No.
They are connected. Liver and alertness.
Yeah, there'll be too much toxins in your system that your brain will be overwhelmed by the amount of toxins. Your brain is very delicate when it comes to the amount of ammonia in the system, for instance. Yes. If the liver does not control the amount of ammonia that is in the system, you become stuporous and you go into coma. Just because your liver has failed.
Hey!
Yeah.
Liver that you have eaten many times.
Yeah.
So, you see, what about muscles? Bodybuilding muscles. I mean, we know muscles are strength and...
Yes.
That's what we know.
Your posture, as you sit there, it's folded his arms. It's because his muscles are working properly.
Are they working as he's sitting down?
Yes. To maintain this posture...
But he's resting.
Your muscle is what is keeping him in the posture. If he was, say, paralyzed, he can't sit like this. He will need support to keep him up.
So when you are sitting down, your muscles are working?
Working, yes.
As you are sitting down, not standing?
Yes. No. Lying down needs muscle to work.
Lying down needs... Are you listening? Lying down needs muscles.
Yes. Standing needs muscle, working. So it's all various types of muscles
working. I thought when you are lying down, your muscles are sleeping.
No, they are working. That's why if somebody lies down for a very long time without moving at all, you know, nobody is able to lie down without moving because your body tells you you have to move. Else, your muscles will lose bulk. That's why if somebody is paralyzed for a long time lying down, by the time you come back, the person will be eating all right, but the volume of muscle the person has will start going down. Because whilst lying down, the body institutes movement so that the muscles are in tone. And so everything we do, there's a system working. When you are sleeping, a lot of systems are working.
When you are asleep?
Asleep.
No, I thought you were asleep.
A lot of systems work when you are asleep.
The body doesn't shut down?
No, it never shuts down. Body never. The day the body shuts down, the day...
You are dead.
You die, yeah.
Hey! Doctor, thank you so very much. Yeah. You know, the key message I need us to carry is that many unrecognized systems are working to make you stay alive. and not even stay alive, but to function. Because according to the doctor, even when you are alive and your liver is not working at full capacity, you can't concentrate. You know, and you lose, he said the word stupor. You become dull and unattentive, and some, and it's not from the brain. It's from the kidney, it's from the liver. You know. The reason why I need us to understand this particular message so importantly is that there are 22 campaigns that we have to deal with. Now, let me make 2 points clear here this evening. Number one is that you see, I want you to many of you are relatively new in Lighthouse. But I want you to cast your mind back about 30 years or so. When mega church was written, there was no such church in existence. When, you see, the loyalty book is a bit different. It was his experiences that brought his mind to the doctrine of loyalty, and he quickly was able to articulate, glean, understand by revelation. That one there was, I mean, what he had been through, it came. But the mega church book, I find it the most fantastic book, because it was written at a time when we were now growing from a classroom. And so it was not his experience that he was writing in the book. Are you understanding? Do you know what it means? It means it was by revelation. It was by a deep understanding of something you have not been taught. And the reason I am saying this so clearly is for us to understand that the PVCI, which is the basis of our church growth, which is the foundation of SSMG, which we have 22 campaigns. Do not think that it is not spiritual or not supernatural. Do not think that it is not supernatural, not spiritual. Because when I say that, all of it, the 22 campaigns, you, in your wisdom, may say that, I don't need this campaign. You, in your wisdom, in your level of understanding, you may sit down in your church and see that this campaign, I don't need it. I can do without, okay, I need one, I need this campaign, but this one, nah, it's not too important. This one, yeah, maybe the big church needs it, but we, the small churches, we don't need it. And you may, in your mind, unconsciously, are you listening? Dismiss some campaigns and say it's not important. It's maybe the big church, the cathedrals can do it. They can have tangerine campaign. They can have a creative arts campaign. They can do Swollen Sunday campaign. They can do, but we, the small churches, waiting. We can't tangerine campaign with a go do. I mean, we are 20 in the church. We can't tangerine with a, forget it. Then we are going to do telepastoring. Ah, I know you know me. Who go call who? Let's go ahead and do our things. And you, in your wisdom, may dismiss. Are you listening? May dismiss some of the campaigns as unnecessary. But what I'm saying this evening is that every single campaign, all 22 of the campaigns, are necessary for your church to grow. Yeah. And the reason is that these campaigns, it's not a human wisdom. It's not a human being who has sat down to think, let's see now, what do we want to do? Want to do some Dancing Stars? Let's see now. No, it's by inspiration. Paul said that when he became born again, no one taught him. He went into the wilderness by himself. He was alone by himself. And he said, what I learned by revelation. And so that book, Mega Church, you must understand when it was written. It was written it was as a manual. It came as a manual. When I was alive, it was not a book. It was a manual, various manuals. What can you call it? Manuals, and you come pamphlets. That's the word. And I mean, chapter 1 and 3 is, I have it in my shelf. Come and see the original Mega Church. I have the original copies, the manuals. One day I'll sell them for thousands of dollars. They'll become active. They become so antique things. I have them. And then I remember chapter 1, 2, and some things were dropped. Some were added. I have them. It was just some notes. And they were just points. That's how Bishop has written. Points. This thing that you are saying, when it came, there was no mega church. It was still a church trying to grow. And so you make a big mistake to try and say that these points is a nice human point. It's not. It's a revelation. Hallelujah. And that revelation is what has birthed Lighthouse from one classroom at Kolebu to 3,000 something, 800 churches or something in 95 countries. It is a super worldwide organization. And Bishop, you see, you must go back to the Poimano, okay? Go to the Poimano to listen to his old messages from 1988, 87, and to date. And you will find that the preaching has not changed. The points he's making, the same window, it's the same thing. And so what he used to build the church at that time is the same thing he's giving to us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the same thing that he's giving to us, which he has, by virtue of time and experience, been able to break it down further from 4 big pieces of meat. He took a blender. In those days, there was no blender. So he took a blender and has blended it into a broth that even a baby can drink and not choke and die. That's what he has done. He has broken it down from 4 to 22. And in so doing, has made it easy to swallow and easy to understand. Amen. Are you listening? And the reason why many of our churches, and you see other churches are not growing, or they are growing or something. Look, every church and his commission and his anointing and his engine of growth. So some churches are there who don't have loyalty, don't have pastoral, and they are growing. No problem. There is another engine that is at work in them. We have petrol engine, diesel engine, hybrid engines, electric. All are different engines. And all are working with different fuels. And so don't mind any other church that is growing, but they don't use our books. A church is growing, they have no loyalty at all. They don't know pastoral care. There's not one telepastoring. There's no teaching. There's not. I don't know how they are growing. But leave them alone. Yeah, leave them alone to grow. They are grow. And they are growing. Do you understand? So don't even compare. Let us see the engine we have in our church. And that engine is the PVCI engine, the MasterCard, which has been broken down to 22 campaigns. And I need everybody here, pastors and shepherds. I've told you what to do when your pastor is not behaving well. I've told you what to do. Come and send me a WhatsApp. Say, our pastor, my church, there's no telepastoring. That's all. Bishop, my pastor doesn't do telepastoring. That's all. Leave the rest to me. Yeah, leave the rest to me. Amen. But the lesson I want us all to understand is you need to deliberately aim for 22 campaigns. Don't say my church is small. We are only 30. 30 divided by 22 is 1 point something. So we are 1.2 persons. One person and 1.2 can do the campaign. We don't have two people for each campaign. No, it's not like that. And some campaigns in a... Doctor, please come again. A baby's body and a grown-up body, are there big differences?
Fundamentally, no.
Fundamentally, no. That means there are small differences. But the key areas
are the same.
Though a baby is a baby, yeah. I can carry him with one hand like this. And if you fall down, he may die.
Yes.
But he still has the same thing.
Structure, same.
That, you see, even a small church, you will have the same things. Even a small church of 10, 20, 30, you will have the same things. It may be in a what would be the main difference between a baby's body and a grown-up body?
The main would be the size of organ.
The size of the organ. But the organ is still there.
Yes. And things like the protection of the organ. That's why the baby can die from fall, but an adult will not.
But so everything is basically there. The kidney and the liver, they all play the same function still.
Yes.
Even the baby's body. But it's not as big as a grown-up.
Yes. And some of the functions are not as efficient as in the adult.
And he has muscles too.
Everything.
But they don't work much like us.
Yes.
So a baby has muscles.
Everything.
But he can't carry anything.
No.
Even himself.
Yes.
So it's like he's paralyzed.
Yes.
But he has muscles.
Everything, yes.
Yeah. He has everything. It is there in an infantile state or infantile measure. But it is there. I hope you are listening. It is there. We have dismissed it. We have set it aside as unimportant, unnecessary. I can do without it. A baby without muscles. Because he's a baby, so he doesn't need muscles. He needs the muscles. Baby, he doesn't. What doesn't he need?
Everything,
yeah, everything we have.
Everything.
Everything we have, he needs. I hope you are listening.
Yeah.
So many of us, we have actually dismissed, relegated, cancelled many campaigns in our heads. We have said that it is not really necessary. And a baby doesn't need a penis. Why? He will not go and marry a girl soon or anything. Is that true?
No, he relates to the penis.
Yes. He does. It is the same fundamental as the grown up. What are the arts they say? No. I hope you understand it. You see, because and that may be a fundamental error that will deceive you in saying the thing doesn't work. This SSMG, I've tried it. My church, look, we have been very consistent. We have tried it in our church. It's not working. No, you have not done it as it should. You have left out the liver. You have gone to pump and grow muscles, and you have left out the liver. So with all your strength that is coming, you are now confused, and you are delirious. But you have muscles you can't use again. And you have gone to constitute on many other things, but you've left out sheep-seeking campaign. You've left out understanding aunties and uncle. Oh, aunties and uncle, we don't have secondary school nearby. You know, my church, there are no kids. It's only grown-ups. You don't know that the kids... The babies there are one day going to be, and you need the kids to become the next generation, and you need the kids to be the ashes. You don't know that you need the kids. Every campaign, 22 campaigns, is necessary. Do not, I'm coming for your mind this evening. And what I'm saying is, do not in your mind cancel and say, I don't need 22. I can do with 18. I can go through. I don't need a state of the floor campaign. Nah, we don't need it. Building campaign. Hey, I don't have a house. I don't need it. Instrument campaign. I have one piano. That's all. I don't need a campaign for one piano. No, no, no. Forget that campaign. Hearing and seeing. Look, I have podcasts. It's okay. Forget that campaign. Let's do Bacenta. Let's do telepastoring. Let's do understanding campaign. Let's do multiplication. Okay, we do crusade once or twice. We do crusade campaign. Then we do dancing stars. Dancing stars, yeah, we do dancing stars. We have 3 dancing stars. So you add. Then you have gone to select maybe 10 or 15 campaigns. No. No. You will not see the growth you are looking for. It is only when you have deliberately set out. You see, you must take the book, sit down in your church, and try and break down every campaign in your church. You must sit down. And if you're not a senior pastor, it doesn't matter. You can support your pastor by the same act. Because shepherds, some pastors only, some churches only one pastor. If he is not correct, the whole church is doomed. No, it shouldn't be. You must be able to see that, listen, and this book, everybody here must have it or can have it. Everybody here, you can have or must have this book. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, minus the wisdom of these campaigns, our expectation of church growth will not materialize. It will not materialize. And you end up accusing God of whatever or whatever, but the church growth will not materialize and will be just there going around in circles, and people will wonder, why did we build such big cathedrals in the small towns when the people there are 20? Is the founder not correct? No, it's not the founder not correct. It is the person there who is not correct. Why do you build such a big church, this big church in a small town, Akokere? Why do you build such a big church in a town Jacobu, why do you build? Look, my small area, Syria, my small area, there are 5 Pentecost churches there. 5 in that small area. And the biggest one is as big as this. Not only one. Don't say that we are going to build something too big. That is, no, no, no. We have not grown the churches. We have not grown the churches. Yeah. And if we, and all I'm asking for is if all of us pastors, I'm closing on this one, if all of us pastors decide and determine that by the grace of God, so help me God, we are going to aim to do 22 campaigns in my church. And then the pastor may say, I think they do campaign. We're only 30, we're only 40. Say, pastor, no, let's try. 22 campaigns in my church. He said, you know, this church, I mean, practically, honestly speaking, in fancy, can we do 22 campaigns? I mean, honestly, look, before man and God, you know, can we do that? You know, let's be honest. Let's be practical. It's not possible. You have just said that this child is too young to be saved. You have just said that this child coming to Jesus shouldn't come. Why? Doesn't understand thing. Leave him out. You have just canceled a great salvation for a whole somebody who will make a big difference in life. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want us to determine every pastor. 22 campaigns. 22. All 22. All 22. All 22. Let's aim. Every one of them. I mean, as Reverend Ishmael said, that some of them are there, but are latent, or are not yet fully active, but they are there. So we have telepassing. Is it a campaign? Hey, in my church, I'm the campaign. Me alone, I make their calls. I'm telepastoring. Oh, how? Is it a campaign? It's a campaign. One man is a campaign because your church is small. That's how come I can have two dancing stars. Yeah. We are doing lay schools. Lay schools, pastor, my church, this is the whole church. Lay schools, who are we going to teach? Look, two of you sit down. I'm taking you through key facts. That's lay schools. One class, that's lay schools. Are you understanding? Never dismiss it. See if you have a problem on how to apply it in your church. Come and let's talk. Come and let's talk. I'll show you how to apply it in your church. But Christian, you must aim to have 22 campaigns in a Ebuakwa church. Until you do, you'll be going around in circles. Oh yes. You'll be going around in circles. You find that, Charlie, the thing is not growing. It's not growing. Look, it's the area, is the witchcraft, is the principalities, is not the principalities, is not the area, is not my assistant, is not, we have not done 22 campaigns. That's all. We have done 19. Even 21. I will tell you, even 21 is not good enough. Because if you leave out, doctor, if I leave out one organ, what will happen to the body with time? Which organ can we leave out?
None.
Okay, no. What's the smallest organ in the body? The smallest.
Adrenals. I think the adrenals.
Adrenals.
Yes.
They are here. Or where are they?
On the kidney.
On the kidney. Okay. If you leave it out, what will happen? They are the smallest.
Quite small.
What will happen if you leave it out?
It's important in maintaining. The middle part produces your epinephrine and norepinephrine. So your heart beating, etc.
That small thing controls the heartbeat.
Yes, it produces a chemical that influences the heart rate.
No, let's find another organ that is small. Now, pancreas.
Hey. Pancreas is
small.
Very major. It's small.
It's very small. I know it's small. In the liver, very, or in the kidney, or somewhere.
It's behind the stomach.
Behind the stomach, yes. It's very small.
Very, very, very important.
But it's very small.
Very, very
So we can't leave it out.
At all.
Why not?
Diabetes. That's the source
That's
of
all.
The sugar.
That's all. No pancreas, diabetes. And then what happened to you? No sugar. Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. Then you die.
Yeah.
That's all. Hypo, up and down. Then you die. Uncontrolled diabetes.
Yeah.
You'll die. Or your body is bathed in sugar. Mm. Your organs will fail.
Yeah.
Over that small little pancreas, wait, behind the stomach.
Behind the stomach.
That's all. There is not. So what, doctor, we can't leave out anything. No organ.
I can't think of anything. I can't.
There's nothing you can leave out that you function happily. I hope you are getting there. Yeah, so the moment you sit down, pastor, and say, this campaign, I don't need. And you see, the key to me is you as the pastor, you must know all 22 campaigns on your fingertips. If you don't know, what you don't know, you don't do, is cancel out of your church. You, the pastor, you must know all 22 campaigns on your fingertips. You must know them. When they ask you to list them, you can list them. You can't explain, I don't care. But you can list all 22. If you leave out some, you have 7 kids you've forgotten too. It cannot be possible. You have left out some, that means those that are left out, they are out of radar, out of coverage area. They are the neglected ones, likely pancreas and adrenal glands that have been deleted out of your body. You look okay for now. You look okay for now, but gradually you'll be dying. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope I've explained very well this evening. And those who are not here, it's a pity. Yeah, they will go and continue with 19 campaigns. They think they are doing well. 18 campaigns, 19 campaigns. They are forcing, but we are forcing. We've done our small church, we've done 15 campaigns. Hey, clap for us. We have done 15 campaigns in our church. We are 80, we are doing 15 campaigns. You are killing yourself. You have made a mistake, cry. Hallelujah. May every pastor eat and digest this book. May it be something on our fingertips. 22 campaigns. May we not ever need to refer. When they say sit down, take a paper and write, you can sit down and write all 22. When you are 21 and you are, hey, one is missing, and you sit back, one is missing, and you look at tangerine campaign. That's the missing one. Because you know all of them. Once you know them, they will be in your church in some fashion or manner. They will be there. Maybe one person is doing understanding, uncles and aunties, sheep seeking. One person is doing all. And he's like, he can't do it. But it is there. But it is there. It is there. It's not very much food. Relax. A baby's muscles are useless. But it is there. You give him time. You become a macho man in the future. Hallelujah. May God help us. May every pastor have a great desire to grow his church. May you have an expectation of 1,000. 1,000. It's not for the cathedrals to aim for 1,000. There is no law that bans a lay pastor from reaching 1,000. There is no marking scheme that has excluded lay pastors from going above 500. No such thing exists. It is the expectation of the pastor that is key at this moment. And this evening, may everyone here receive a new impartation from God in the name of Jesus. May everyone here, every pastor, every son of this house, every son of the prophet, every son, every product of this commission, this church, may you tonight receive a vision of a mega church. Our pastor who saw the vision when there was none, may you have the same vision when there is none. When you are sitting in a classroom with 25 people, may you somehow receive the unreasonable and unlikely vision of 500. As you are sitting in a classroom with nobody, no usher, no choir, may you suddenly have in your heart a certain desire for 500. And may people call you crazy and mad, but it is what God has placed on your hearts as a child, as a son of this house. And may we all be burning, a burning desire, burning desire. Shatayandere, Rabakasendere, a burning desire. May every other desire you have fade and pale in comparison with your desire for church growth. May you be amazed that suddenly this is what burns in your heart. And as you pursue it, may God add everything else. May God add everything else. May this burning desire, this burning desire be for one thing, the work of God. The work of God. And as it burns in you, and as you try and fulfill it, may you see much grace and much blessing coming out in your heart, in your life. Father, thank you so very, very much for your message, for your word to us. Thank you that as we gather here, it is you speaking to us. Let everyone here leave knowing that we have been told what to do. Let everyone here leave knowing that we have a mandate and we have a direction on where to go. And may we have no rest. May we have no rest until we see our churches growing. Make us restless. Keep us awake. Give us disturbed hearts. Give us unhappiness. Even as we see other things coming, money coming, houses going up, we see profits in the business. Make us unhappy. Make us unhappy at what is before us. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place. This is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.